Becky.
Becky was wondering who would.
Nice work, Beck.
Good evening, everyone. we're going to get started on a new series for this week and next week on having faith. We just answered the question, what does having faith mean? And we talked about having trust and belief in what God's word says. And having trust in who God is rather than knowing what God has said. Number two tonight, the next question is, how do we demonstrate our faith? How do we live it out? Kind of goes to what you're talking about.
Yeah, it's like the same question.
It could be, yeah.
I mean,
why is it the same question?
I mean,
why is demonstrating our faith the same as having faith?
It's like, it's really like showing your maturity in Christ. Like, obviously someone who's new to Jesus and trying to understand God, like, it's, you're not so easy to just, all right, here's my problem, take it. Mm-hmm. Usually we try to handle ourselves and, like, maybe, like, God in little things. It's just, like, having faith is, like, just straight throwing it all. Mm-hmm. And that's just giving it to Him. Just have faith in it.
Okay, like a surrender?
Yeah.
Okay.
Obedience.
Okay. Why is obedience a demonstration of our faith?
Kind of like when a little kid is obedient to their parent. They trust their parent. They know their parent loves them and takes care of them. And when they say something, they know when they're obedient. That's why they're obedient.
Okay. Anybody else? Any other ideas?
Patience.
Patience what?
Just like
part of trusting?
Yeah. Again, like it goes with the obedience. The, like, patience is like when you have faith, something's happening. Like, it doesn't usually.
Right.
So yeah. Patience is definitely.
Yeah, so when you're.
And patience is definitely one of the key factors, mm-hmm. but you have to put your trust in God to have patience.
So faith has to do with obedience. That's right. Faith has to do with obedience. Faith has to do with trusting. Faith has to do with patience and maturity. Instead of trying to solve things on our own or having wishful thinking where we're like a kid in the corner waiting for our way to happen, we're instead giving the situation over to God or the situations in front of us or whatever and asking God. Okay, good. what would God want our faith to look like? If God is... What's that?
It's a hard one.
Yeah. You can make it personal, but I guess as we talk about this generally... Is a well-loved son or daughter, what would God, who loves us, want our faith to look like?
Obedience,
yeah. Do you understand what you're saying?
Can you repeat it? I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's what would God want our faith to look like? Like, what would he, if he's looking down on us, she's not really, he's here with us now, but if he were looking down on us.
He would be like Jesus.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was going to say that.
I feel like maybe this is making it personal, but this is what I'm thinking of it. I feel like he would want it to be something that's steady and constant and not like waxing and waning, but something that's growing and that turns into like such a conviction that it requires action at some points too.
Okay. A steadiness. Beyond just a mental belief, but actually translates into a passionate obedience, like a heartfelt.
Yeah, I think that's where I was going to go with it, like just having this passion and fervor for Him that I know it's things will be done.
Right.
You know, kind of in the story of that Roman soldier
mm-hmm.
who wanted his servant to be healed, mm-hmm. and. You know, he had asked, Jesus, could you heal him? Could you come and heal him? And then he got to a point where, I know you don't even have to see him.
Right, yeah.
I know if you say it's done.
Right.
And his servant was, his servant was healed. Mm-hmm. You know, and I feel like he would want our lives to be lived in a manner that we understand that, Lord, you see me. And you're gonna work. You know the desires of my heart, and you know what I'm kind of what you said at the beginning before you turned everything on. You know, we're working toward it.
Yeah.
You know, we're working toward our goals, and He's gonna work into it according to His plan.
Right.
And having that trust and that obedience that He's gonna do that. That's what He wants. I think that's what He wants to see.
Yeah, Jesus commended the centurion and said, this kind of faith I haven't seen.
Right.
You know, so that trust. And it's interesting, too, that Jesus would get, not frustrated, but He would, like, rebuke His disciples, say, you have little faith. Like, you've been with me, you've known me. And so it's like applying what we know of God, His character, His personality, His who He is, and applying it to our lives, but with somehow our hearts are engaged with it, that it's not just, you know, mental. It's not all mental, that we're doing it with all of our hearts.
Also, praise and thanksgiving shows faith.
Right. Mm-hmm. Cool. How is our faith limited? That's what we're talking about, faith limits. And I guess what I mean by that question is, there are times in our lives where our faith hits a brick wall. And where we fail to believe, we fail to truly give it over to God, we fail to have our heart engaged, and then we actually check out and just start going through the motions. How is it that our faith gets there, and what's causing it? How is our faith limited? Yeah.
We get too comfortable.
Okay.
In the good stuff. And when we had the mindset of such, we're so busy thinking of one thing, we tend to forget about where we were and what our weaknesses were.
Right.
And I'm sure everybody's fell to their weakness again. And like it sneaks up on you where you don't even pay attention to it. When you finally realize it, you're already down.
Right. So it's like you spiritually plateau.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so you stop having faith because you don't feel like you need it anymore.
Yeah. I think sometimes you get distracted, hurt, burnt out, you know, all those kind of catchwords, I guess, if you want to call them, all those, you know, different feelings come into play, you know, it creates a barrier, you know, for what can be done.
It seems like when we are walking with the Lord, if we are always aware of Him, if we always know how good He is, how much He loves us, how holy He is, it's like if we walked in that knowledge constantly, it would be so much easier for us to have faith in Him because we would be reminded of Him. But because of the way in which God sometimes, He's not that He's gone anywhere, but it's almost like we don't experience Him the same way, that I think that is part of the problem too. But I think it's also part of our development process where we don't rely on those feelings. We rely upon what we know is true and from His Word. A lot of times it kind of goes along with what you're saying too, is our junk, our issues get in the way. We suddenly become fearful, or we suddenly stop, we get angry, we fall into sin or whatever, and those things become barriers for us as well. Tonight, there's actually three passages of scriptures I want to read, but I'm going to read from my Bible because I was trying to cut and paste and it wasn't working too well. So if you guys have your Bibles on your phone, you can turn to that if you want. We'll start with Hebrews chapter 11. We're going to hang out in Hebrews next week too, so that's why it's a study essentially in Hebrews, but it's not the only thing that we're reading from tonight. Hebrews chapter 11 is sort of like the Hall of Fame for faith. And at the beginning of it, it actually even defines faith for us. The book of Hebrews was written to the Jews. It was written basically to help people understand that Jesus was the fulfillment of all the things that were spoken about in the Old Testament about who the Messiah would be. And so in chapter 11, it goes into this faith chapter, basically. It's talking about the faith of all of these people that preceded Christ. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. For by it the people of old received their commendation. By faith we understand that the universe was created by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things that are visible. So our understanding is affected by faith. By faith, Abel offered to God a more acceptable sacrifice than Cain, through which he was commended as righteous, God commending him by accepting his gifts, and through his faith, though he died, he still speaks. By faith, Enoch was taken up so that he should not see death, and he was not found, because God had taken him. Now before he was taken, he was commended as having pleased God. And without faith, it is impossible to please God, which kind of connects to that question before. What would God want out of us?
What version is that?
This is the ESV.
Okay.
Verse 6, and without faith it is impossible to please him, for whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. By faith, Noah, being warned by God concerning events as yet unseen, in reverent fear constructed an ark for the saving of his household. By this he condemned the world and became an heir of the righteousness that comes by faith. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place that he was to receive as an inheritance. And he went not knowing where he was going. And by faith, he went to live in the land of promise as in a foreign land, living in tents with Isaac and Jacob, heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city that has foundations, whose designer and builder is God. By faith, Sarah herself received power to conceive, even when she was past the age, since she considered him faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one man, and him as good as dead, were born descendants as many as the stars of heaven, and as many as the innumerable grains of sand by the seashore. These all died in faith, not having received the things promised, but having seen them and greeted them from afar, and having acknowledged that they were strangers and exiles on the earth. For people who speak thus make it clear that they are seeking a homeland. If they had been thinking of that land from which they had gone out, they would have had opportunity to return. But as it is, they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared for them a city. I like that line. God is not ashamed to be called their God. That sense that they are looking forward to heaven, and they're living their lives now with that knowledge in the future. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he who had received the promises was in the act of offering up his only son, of whom it was said, through Isaac shall your offspring be named. He considered that God was able even to raise him from the dead, from which, figuratively speaking, he did receive him back. By faith, Isaac invoked future blessings on Jacob and Esau. By faith, Jacob, when dying, blessed each of the sons of Joseph, bowing in worship over the head of his staff. By faith, Joseph, at the end of his life, made mention of the exodus of the Israelites and gave directions concerning his bones. It's like these people, like, we're living with this expectation for the future. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden for 3 months by his parents because they saw that the child was beautiful and they were not afraid of the king's edict. By faith, Moses, when he was grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to be mistreated with the people of God than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. He considered the reproach of Christ greater wealth than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking to the reward. By faith, he left Egypt, not being afraid of the anger of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. By faith, he kept the Passover and sprinkled the blood so that the destroyer of the firstborn might not touch them. By faith, the people crossed the Red Sea as on dry land, but the Egyptians, when they attempted to do the same, were drowned. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they had been encircled for 7 days. By faith, Rahab the prostitute did not perish with those who were disobedient because she had given a friendly welcome to the spies. And what more shall I say? For time would fail me to tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, of David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, enforced justice, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the power of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, were made strong out of weakness, became mighty in war, put foreign armies to flight. Women received back their dead by resurrection. Some were tortured, refusing to accept release, so they might rise again to a better life. Others suffered mocking and flogging and even chains and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawn in two. They were killed with a sword. They went about in skins of sheep and goats, destitute, afflicted, mistreated, of whom the world was not worthy, wandering about in deserts and mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And all these, though commended through their faith, did not receive what was promised, since God had provided something better for us, that apart from us they should not be made perfect. this whole concept over and over again, just recounting just some of the people from the Old Testament and how they, by faith, looked to what God said rather than what they were seeing. I also want to read James chapter 2. I think this also can give us some insight into faith. Some of you guys probably already know what I'm going to be referencing. Went the wrong direction. Hi.
Hi, I'm sorry to interrupt you. Hi. Isn't there service tonight?
No, there's no main service tonight.
They say that's at 6:30
starts at night. Yeah, it's not correct any longer.
Since how long?
For a little while now. Probably about a year or so, maybe.
Oh,
2 years.
Really?
Yeah. We need to change. It's on the website. It's something we need to change. Mm-hmm.
Well, I think that's why I looked at the website. It's at 6:30
in
the fall. Yeah. So any services going on only on Sunday?
Sunday morning. On Wednesday, we have a service too.
Okay, don't you have like a Christmas, something going on for Christmas?
This Christmas Eve we'll have a service. I think it's at 7 o'clock on Christmas Eve. Mm-hmm. But this Wednesday coming up, we'll have a service in the chapel.
Okay, is anyone like a Christmas play or something like that?
This Sunday morning, this next Sunday morning, we're going to have a kids program.
Mm-hmm.
The kids in our church are putting together a program. They're going to be presenting on that Sunday.
So it's this Sunday morning?
Yes, and that's 11 o'clock.
11 o'clock. Yeah. And then Wednesday?
At 7 o'clock.
What's
and
that
then,
7 o'clock?
Just our regular Wednesday night service this week. And then the following week will be our Christmas Eve service.
It's Christmas Eve. Yeah. We've got a truck full of kids and family that want to come to church.
Oh, okay.
It was rushing. I mean, now.
Oh,
it's
right now out there?
Now.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry to hear that. Yeah.
All right. Then thank you very much.
Sure thing.
Bye-bye. Sorry.
James chapter 2. Is that? Yeah. So James chapter 2. Verses 14 to 26. What good is it, my brothers, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can that faith save him? If a brother or sister is poorly clothed and lacking in daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace, be warmed and filled, without giving them the things needed for the body, what good is that? So also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. But someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith apart from your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. You believe that God is one, you do well. Even the demons believe and shudder. Do you want to be shown, you foolish person, that faith apart from works is useless? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered up his son Isaac on the altar? You see that faith was active along with his works, and faith was completed by his works. And the scripture was fulfilled that says, Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness. And he was called a friend of God. You see that a person is justified by works and not by faith alone. And in the same way, was not also Rahab the prostitute justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out by another way? For as the body apart from the spirit is dead, so also faith apart from works is dead. And then the last one is actually the scripture from today, which is where I want to kind of bring all this in for a landing before we go over a couple points. The pastor this morning was talking about the faith of Mary. And how amazing it was for her to just trust God. when we talk about faith, it's just believing in what God has said. You know, the thing is that we don't have to necessarily accomplish it. It's not our job to make it happen. But it's about believing God and trusting that he's going to see something through. So in Luke chapter 1, verses 26, it said, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary, and he came to her and said, greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you. But she was greatly troubled at the saying, and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And his kingdom there will be of his kingdom there will be no end. And Mary said to the angel, "How will this be, since I am a virgin?" And the angel said, And the angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child born to be born will be called holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son." And this is the sixth month with her, who is called barren. For nothing will be impossible with God. And Mary said, behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. And the angel departed from her. So I just have a few thoughts before we turn to worship, and this hopefully will kind of turn a lot of the different things we've been talking about and turn them towards us inward. Number one, God is glorified when we have faith in His Word. When we trust in what God has said, we're glorifying Him. We're acknowledging that He is in charge, that He is all-powerful, that He is the one who is going to direct our lives. One of the things that a lot of times folks seem to pray the prayer of salvation just hoping to get to heaven. They really just want to have their sins forgiven so they can get into heaven. But when we talk about accepting the Lord into our hearts and making Him the leader of our lives, it's so much more than just getting our sins forgiven. When we accept the gift of salvation, when we accept the gift of His death on the cross for us, what we're doing is we're basically acknowledging that what He has done for us is true, and we accept it by faith, that it's what is going to make us right with God. And so when we have faith in Him, when we trust in His Word, God is glorified. My second point tonight is that faith must have an action component. As you read in James, there has to be something that we do. For us to say we believe and only believe, but fail to take action in all those ways, it means our faith is meaningless. There needs to be action associated with what God speaks to our hearts about it. And obviously, there's a lot of action that the Bible automatically tells us this is the way to go. Micah 6:8 says, He has shown you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you but to love mercy, to walk to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. To do justly, to do right, to love mercy, to not be looking for punishment or trying to dole out punishment, and to walk humbly with God. These action things that we do is part of what God is asking us to do things for Him. Not because we have to somehow earn our salvation, but by putting those things into action in our lives, it transforms us. We begin taking those steps. I think of the lepers that came to Jesus, and He said, go and present yourself to the priest. And as they turned away from Jesus, still lepers, and went towards presenting themselves to the priest, they were healed along the way. There is a process sometimes to our sanctification, a process to our healing, a process to our growth that necessitates us taking action based upon what His Word tells us to do. When God gives us a step and we're looking for step 20, God, I want step 20. He's like, well, just do step one first. You haven't even done that yet. And so He's requiring that action before the next stage. My third point, we need to ask ourselves whether we are failing to live the lives God has called us to because of our choices and our sin. We talk about the obstacles to our faith. You know, we all have baggage. We all have situations in our lives that would limit our ability to become the people God's created us to be. And we can either use the time that we have now here on earth to have trust in that fact that we are one day going to be made like Him and begin moving towards that, or we can sit in a pew and do nothing and just, you know, one day the next kind of melds into one another and everything you do is the same and there isn't this vibrant, alive relationship with God, that our hearts aren't engaged or we're not doing new things that are stretching us and pushing us out of our comfort zone. You know, the choices that we make to remain comfortable, to keep doing the same old, to stay in the sin that we don't think matters because it's only affecting us, okay? Those things are the very things that are obstacles that limit our faith. And in the new year, I'm going to begin a series about sharing our faith. And one of the questions that I'm going to be asking over and over is your faith something worth sharing? Is your relationship with God, your testimony of what God has done in your life, is it up to date? Is God working in you? Is He changing you? Are you still in the same old sins? Are you overcoming sin? Are you becoming a better man or a better woman? Are you learning to walk in boldness and in victory? Are you learning to become the person that God's called you to be? Is your faith active? Or is it a experience from 5-10 years ago or at a convention years ago? This relationship that's supposed to be something we continually grow in, because you're not the same person you were 5 years ago. And as you develop and as you grow just by aging, okay, there's new situations in my life that require me to rely upon God in whole, entirely new ways. And not only that, but along the way, I've seen more things about myself that God needs to or wants to work in. And I've got people that I'm responsible for to help them grow. I'm way out of my comfort zone in so many different areas of my life. And I want to be even more so because I am wanting to live my life believing for the day that's yet to come when I will see him and I will have to give an account for my life and I will have to explain to him what I've done with what he's given me. You know, Jesus said to his disciples, this is what the kingdom of God is like. It's like a man who goes on a journey and gives one of his servants one talent, and he gives another servant three talents, and he gives another servant five talents. And when he comes back after a long journey, everybody has to stand in front of him and say, okay, what have you done? And the one guy who had the five said, I've made five more. He's like, that makes me happy. You've taken what I've given you and you've made more. The guy with three, that makes me happy. You've taken what I've given you. And there's one guy who says, well, you know, I was afraid. Wasn't really sure you were coming back. And so I knew that you know, were this way. So I just kind of, I kept it safe. Here's the one thing you gave to me. I just protected it and kept it to myself. And here it is. It's right back to you. His understanding of the master and what the master would want was completely off. And for us, as we walk with the Lord, I think many times we don't spend enough time with the Lord to know what he really wants of us. The Lord, what does the Lord require of you? He wants us to engage him. He wants us to have a living and active faith so that when he comes into our lives and says, this is what I'm going to do, we're not like, uh-uh, God, you can't have that area of my life. Mary said in faith, be it unto me as you've spoken. I'm your servant. Basically, you're God. I'm not. Have your way, Lord. Do whatever you want to do. So we need to ask ourselves whether we're failing to live the lives God has called us to because of our choices and our sin. Many times the reason why we're not sharing our faith, we're not quick to share our faith, is because our experience with God is so far out of date. We're just basically saying, I know this is true and I know I need to share, but we're not enthusiastic about it. We're not passionate about it. There's nothing inside of us that's driving us to say, hey, look, you're hurting right now and I have the answer. This is what God has said. Do you understand how much he could do for you in this situation? You know, I know this isn't popular today, but let me just tell you about what God has done. You know, I want to share with you the good news that I've received. I want to be a witness of what I've experienced and what I've come to find to be true. So we're going to be talking about that later on down the road. But that's a good question. My last point tonight is the exact same point I just put up there. I must have copied and pasted, not finished my thought. That's great. We need to ask ourselves whether we're failing to live the lives God has called us to because of our choices and our sin. That's the bottom line.
Nailed it.
We need to understand that our lives aren't meant to be, we're not wandering. God has given us so much more than the people before Christ. We have seen the consummation. We've seen the fulfillment of his promises. And for us, we have so much of a deeper understanding of who God is as he revealed himself through Jesus Christ. We have the teachings of Jesus who kept over and over again, this is what the kingdom of God is like. This is what my values are. Keep the kids coming. You know, forbid them not. He talked to the lepers. He touched the lepers. He spoke to the women at the well, the woman at the well who had a bad reputation. He commended the faith of a centurion who wasn't necessarily in the group of Israel. He was outside the box. And we need to understand that God is calling us to understand that we limit ourselves through the choices that we make and through our own sin. And God is basically crying out to us, you know, open your eyes, begin to recognize that you are failing to demonstrate your faith. You're failing to live it out. And that's why you're struggling. That's why you're still where you're at, because you've not taken those steps. While you haven't seen changes and growth in these areas of your life, you are the key. You've not been obedient. You've not done the thing that I've told you to do. Begin to look for ways to make your faith real, to live it out. And as we are so grateful for Mary and all the others that have gone before us, in Hebrews it talks about this great cloud of witnesses that are looking on us, and basically it's our time. They've received their reward. Okay, and they will with us at the consummation, at the very end of it all, at the wedding supper of the Lamb, where we're going to all be together with him and we'll be made like him. But until that day, we live in this pre-waiting period where we have to be ready, like the virgins with the oil. We have to be ready. And at any point in time, we could be called upon and understand that there's an urgency to our relationship, that it's not just nothing. You know, it's when God gets a hold of us that we should recognize that his love and his compassion, his grace is being poured out in our lives, and it demands a response. So we're going to close in a word of prayer, and then we're going to worship the Lord through a few songs, and then we'll close our night. Father, I thank you for your word and the ways in which you have demonstrated your faithfulness towards us. Lord, I thank you so much for those who have taken you at your word and demonstrated faith. I pray that we would grow in that way, that we would become faithful servants, Lord, and that we would show you and show the world, Lord, that you are our source, that you are our Savior, you are our Lord. You are everything, Lord, and I pray that we would live our lives in that way. As we take time now to worship, Lord, I pray that these thoughts would continue to kind of linger, that we would ruminate on them and just allow you to have your way with us. Grow us, Lord God, as only you can do, and help us to respond in obedience. Build us up, Lord God, so that we can be the people you've called us to be. We thank you for these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
You go right into the sanctuary.